Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lynnonville, we are here when you need us.
It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program, Open Mic with Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open at 802-244-1777 and toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. And here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Glad to see you this Monday morning. You having a good weekend?
Yes, I am. It went by way too quick. I mean, it's this bonus day, but...
Yep, we get this bonus day, all right, and it's going to be a little bit rainy, so now it's an excuse to go inside and sit down and read and hang out.
It's a shorter week, so all is well.
Yes, that's the other thing. The great thing about the long weekend is the four-day week that follows. It's pretty good. Anyway, this morning it's a wide open mic. No guests in studio unless somebody wanders in off the street. I probably shouldn't say that and encourage that sort of behavior. But I'd love to know what's on your mind. Please, please do give us a call. 244-1777, or you can call us toll-free at 877-291-8255. It's been a busy weekend in Vermont. We had the marathon up in Burlington, which I guess they had to call a bit early because of the heat and the humidity. That's not to say that some folks didn't finish. We did have some winners. I don't know if you ran. If anybody was up there that you know that ran and you can give us a firsthand account, that would be interesting to me to hear about that. Yard sale weekend, too, that unofficial Vermont state holiday this weekend. Did you see anything good out there on the roads, free piles? Did you run one yourself? How about the garden? Been out in the garden doing stuff? Oh, we already have a caller. Bill from Barrie, glad to have you on this Memorial Day. What's on your mind?
Well, Memorial Day, I guess, but I wanted to say a few things first. Everybody who votes and everybody else has an opinion, and we would think that these opinions are they want to vote for who what's good for the country.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's what I think. But even I don't think that completely, because the other thought is what's good for me. So that's why we have a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another reason why it's a republic and not a democracy exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A democracy means that 51% of the people say we'll vote for such and such and forget the 49%. That is absolutely wrong. And I want to read something to you.
Okay.
I'm reading from the United States Constitution.
Excellent. Let's hear.
The 13th Amendment. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor, this is the important, well, it's all important, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can already see that I'm not in favor of a protected group. I am in favor of every citizen is a protected group.
Well, what do you? Let me push back on that a little bit. What do you think, Bill, about situations when small groups who may not constitute the majority in the country start to be deprived of their rights to life and liberty because of a majority opinion? What do you think?
You just said it.
What?
You just said what I believe. That's why we have the first, the Bill of Rights, which I am actually looking at.
Yep, me too. I pulled
well.
It up here.
And every one of those things deals with the individual. Every individual should be treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to get at also, I wanted to bring up Memorial Day.
Okay.
And the reason for Memorial Day. And so we need all these things. And the two things about the Constitution that are the most important, nothing is perfect. And it is not perfect. But it is as close as we have been able to get to being perfect. And one of the things that protects all these rights that I am looking at this moment is our protection. And Memorial Day is honoring those who have given us this protection.
Oh, you mean our defense, you mean? That kind of protection.
Not just you said the word defense.
I'm thinking in terms
right
of...
Right down to the individual. They're now honoring the police and the firemen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. In fact, they've been honoring citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens like you and me who, if somebody is drowning, go in and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is in a burning building. Other than the fire people, I see a lot of stories where a fireman is assisted or a policeman is assisted by a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of these people who do what they want, and I'm going to throw in the doctors and all the people who help other people.
That sounds right to me, too. So
when Hurricane Irene came through here, look at all the people who went out and worked hard to help other people. And I will be honest about this. I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed pitching in?
I enjoyed helping the people.
Sure.
I remember sitting at the in the tailgate of my truck with a bunch of people. It was about 4 in the afternoon. I'd been there all day. And the people thanked me. And there was about 5 of us, mostly neighbors at that time. This was down in Northfield. I was in Barry, but I went down.
Right.
And I looked at them and said, listen, in a few minutes, I will be able to go home. And here you are.
Stuck.
Because I thank you for giving me this. I have to admit, I enjoyed the day.
Well, I can understand that. I really think that pitching in and being part of a community in good times and ill is probably one of the most gratifying things. And one of the things I really, frankly, like the best about living in a small town and in a place like Vermont where the communities really are genuine communities, where you know people of all different ages and beliefs and stripes, and you work out ways to live and tolerate each other's differences with some generosity and humor. It's one of the great things about being in a place like this. I think a lot of the ailments in this country stem from situations where people let their circumstances become too large. I'm all for being a citizen of the world, but I think it's really, really great to live in a small community where everybody kind of knows each other, has a stake in each other's safety and happiness and prosperity. It's a really great way, a great way to live, and we're very lucky to have that here. Thank you very much, Bill, for calling in on this Memorial Day. Do you have thoughts about who you would honor on this Memorial Day? Give us a call, 244-1777, or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Tom and I would sure love to hear from you. Tom, what do you think? Who would you be honoring on this Memorial Day? If it's up to you.
Well, I certainly think of family members who aren't here anymore,
mm-hmm.
and inspirational, but definitely the people in military service. And but, of course, you know, as people have pointed out, today has taken on this large meaning, which is probably good, large meaning as far as people go, oh, it's the unofficial start this summer, things like that. But I do think it's important to remember it's for the soldiers who did not come back,
mm-hmm.
Memorial Day. And then it's kind of turning into all these other things. I think that's good maybe as a thought to keep inward, but I hate to see it lose track of what the day's all about.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know.
No, I think that's really true. The origins of Memorial Day, really, they go back to the Civil War. We kind of didn't have a Memorial Day until 1865, I guess. And on that day, in Charleston, South Carolina, free blacks reburied dead Union prisoners of war and held a cemetery dedication ceremony. And that was the very first Memorial Day.
There's also been other things I think they talked about. There's somewhere up in upstate New York had one, about the early 20th century, or maybe it was late 19th century. Did something that was not nationwide, but they're trying to, I think there's been some stories about when did this actually start. Of course, we know when it all became a national thing later on, but there was like little sections of the country that would do different things, and then everybody got on the same page. Of course, you have Veterans Day in November, and it's funny, that one is sometimes forgotten about because it's not usually a three-day weekend.
Sure it is.
Things
Armistice
like that.
Day. November 11th? Well, they move it to
they move it
the
all,
Monday
all
thing.
Around, so, yeah. But it's not like Memorial Day that has, you know, oh, it's Memorial. I think where this one falls, being the beginning of the spring, you have the 4th of July.
Yeah.
You have Labor Day weekend, but... So that's the one, but I'm just surprised. Yes, in the military community and people who were aware of it for Veterans Day seem to really have a focus on it, but
yeah.
It doesn't seem as big in a lot of people's minds.
I wonder how much retailing has to do with that.
Yeah, exactly. that's like, becoming something it's maybe not supposed to be, but that's a tough one.
Well, I mean, maybe the fanfare around it stems from that, but that doesn't alter the fact that there are people out there who serve and protect, and we need to take a moment periodically on a regular basis. And if we do it twice a year, even better.
Yeah, every day is probably a good
every
thing,
day is but, probably more appropriate.
But it's like I was talking to Mike about it. I said, you know, it's like a St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. There is something that has commonly almost no meeting in the all the drinking and all that stuff, and it's becoming something it wasn't necessarily intended to be. But
sure.
Just funny. There's
that just started out as a regular old Irish Saints Day, correct? And then in this country, it
It's and the corned beef and cabbage that's up in the air. That's not necessarily.
Well, I have Irish friends who just despise the quote unquote professional Irish who only roll out for the green beer and the green hats on St. Patrick's Day, right. And I can't say I blame them.
I have a great time on that day, but I do know that there's a Woods Tea song that says, you know, I don't really know why we honor St. Pat. He drove out the snakes or something like that. So. You know, kind of a dark humor
patron
there.
Saint of Ireland.
They call it St. Patrick's Day in America. But,
yes, they do.
Well, it's good. But like you mentioned, it's also good that anytime we talk to our friends and neighbors and get together, it's never a bad thing.
It's never a bad thing. And we're really lucky because most of us know most of our friends and neighbors, unlike some of the larger, more densely populated parts of this country. Well, we've been babbling on long enough about Memorial Day. I want to hear what you guys think, the folks who are out there listening on this last day of a long weekend. Maybe you're sleeping in. Maybe you're just sitting down to breakfast. Give us a call. Share your thoughts over your cup of coffee. I have mine here, thanks to Frankie Allen, who went and bought some of that dark roast stuff, which I absolutely love. And I have a really nice cup of coffee here. And I'm in a chatty mood, so give us a call here at 244-1777. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. What's on your mind this Memorial Day? What kind of plans do you have for the season upcoming? Doing any construction this year? I guess that's getting underway. Haven't seen any cutting yet, any hay cutting yet. Have you seen mowers out?
I'm just they're doing more of the spreading now than I've seen. You can certainly smell
well, it's ready
that
to cut where I live.
Up.
I'm waiting for that day when it just smells like heaven and you get up and it's all kind of weird and chopped and yellow and brown and then it all comes back again. It'll be good.
Was it, I think it was 91 Saturday. This was somewhat in the shade in Montpelier where I live, but did it get that warm up in the Crestbury?
Probably it did. I didn't really look at the numbers, but I know that I know how long it took me to get to work up quite a bit of a sweat, frankly. And then I went in and showered and hit the road because it was a good day to be on the road with the windows down. It was very hot and muggy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was kind of tough. And I guess Roger Hill says today, scattered morning rain showers, mostly sunny skies in the afternoon. I guess more humid. Not everybody a big fan of that humidity this early. And then I guess it's the big thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Could be some heavy downpours. And some gusty winds, and so maybe that'll cool it off a little bit. Then I guess from tomorrow on, less humid.
Yep, and sunshiny for a couple of days.
Yes.
A couple of days this week should be gorgeous. In fact, that's a good, who was it? Was it Roger Hill talking about a good weather to make square bales this week? Because we're going to have a couple of days after the cut, when it has a chance to set out there and dry. I was just talking with a friend of mine about how that whole thing has changed. I can remember when the hayfield out in front of my house took 2 days, two men, 2 days, to deal with, to square bale up, to cut, let it dry, fluff it up, and then run the baler around 2 full days. And then, of course, you were interrupted by weather. And now the great big cutting apparatus comes down from the big farm up the way that leases these fields from us. And it sweeps over, it spreads out these big cutting bars. It must be 50 feet across. And it goes whoop, whoop, up, back up. And in 15 minutes, it's laid flat. Around midday, some big tedder rig comes along with the same kind of span, fluffs up all the grass. And then at nightfall, they come back with 3-4 trucks and a chopper, and they barrel around the field and scoop it all up, and it's gone in less than a day, the whole thing.
Boy, that's amazing. I think of so many people, it was sort of like stacking wood and baling hay was just, you didn't need a gym membership with stuff like that. I see a call coming in, so I'll be right back.
Okay, yeah, and I certainly know there's folks out there who have seen that very same field I'm talking about. Folks who live up Crestbury probably know the one I mean, when it took several men more than 2 days to deal with, and they were doing it with a wagon and a horse and a couple of pitchforks and scythes or whatever, and getting hay chaff down the back of their shirts and itching for weeks. Things have really changed around here. It's just kind of amazing to me. But it is this time of year. This time of year is when we start to see first and second cut coming along. Fred from Waitsfield, you're on the air on open mic. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning. I just printed something off on flag etiquette.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, Washington, D.C.
And what does it say?
And it's talking about when to fly the flag at half-staff.
Uh-huh.
And under Memorial Day, it says, on Memorial Day, the flag should be flown at half-staff from sunrise until noon only.
Really?
Then raised briskly to the top of the staff until sunset in honor of the nation's battle hero.
That's intriguing. Why do you suppose that is? Does it explain the half-staff for the morning?
What I have read somewhere, and I can't put my finger on it right now, but for the first half of the day, it is to honor the war dead.
I see.
And the last half is to honor those who fought in battles.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I understand.
Well, that's really intriguing. I'd never heard that before, and I like knowing that little factoid. That's really great, Fred. That's good. Now, are flags and flag etiquette something that you find particularly intriguing?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do. I try to keep up on it. One of the things that happens with flag etiquette is there's several different regulations depending on what's your source. The U.S. flag code is rather broad and nonspecific,
uh-huh.
really.
In what way? Can you tell me something about, help me understand what it says?
Well, maybe I can explain it more by telling you how other organizations like the American Legion
mm-hmm.
has made it more specific. In fact, if you read the American Legion code, it says that the flags that we put on the cemetery, since they are unlit, should be withdrawn or retrieved the day after Memorial Day.
Huh.
Of course, we don't do that.
No.
Also, a lot of veterans, between the Army and the Navy, Marines, their regulations are slightly different. So you can get into a debate among people
sure.
As to what is proper etiquette. And everybody can be right. It depends on what you use as a reference.
Wow. Let me ask you something. Have you ever looked at sort of the comparable etiquette rules in other countries? I wonder how ours line up with some of the practices in other places.
No, I never have. I have enough of a trouble just trying to keep up with our own country.
It sure sounds like there's plenty of differences to keep track of.
Yeah.
So do you fly a flag today?
Well, I'm embarrassed. My flagpole fell down, and I haven't been able to get it back up.
Well, here's something even more embarrassing. The one flagpole I had a hand in raising is now dwarfed by all the trees around it, and the only people who can see the flag we fly are in the space station.
Yeah, I'd like to put another one back up, but they are a little bit pricey.
Yeah, they are. Well, we made one out of a big old cedar tree.
That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good way of doing
yeah.
No, all.
It's so, there.
If people get into a discussion of what is the proper etiquette, I would refer them to the U.S. code. And then that should be, while other organizations may make it more strict or rigid, if you're doing it according to the U.S. code, you can't be wrong.
I think you're probably right about that. Well, listen, Fred, thanks for the education. I really appreciate knowing these things. These are things I didn't know before today. You are tuned to Open Mic, and we'll be back right after these words. Good morning and welcome back on Memorial Day Monday. Hester Fuller is my name, and you're tuned to Open Mic Radio on WDEV. And the mics are wide open today. We're interested in what's on your mind. So give us a call at 244-1777, or you can call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Had an interesting tutorial just a minute ago. Our last caller, Fred from Waitsville, called up to talk a bit about flag etiquette and the things that he knew, and I didn't realize there were a number of flag codes. Each branch of the service apparently has one. There's the U.S. flag code. Different organizations like the Legion have different kinds of rules. Tom, is that something that's familiar to you?
Yes.
Really?
Not the Memorial Day part. About mm-hmm. That was very interesting about half staff and such, but I do know the American flag because I have about, I don't know, 20 different flags from around the world.
Really?
Scottish.
Oh, cool.
English. There's two English flags. Anyway, that's a whole maybe show the different flag etiquette and different flags, different countries. Of course, the Canadian flag's changed over the years. And,
yep.
But I do know with the American flag that they would like you to put a light on it overnight.
Okay, and, so if it's out all night, yeah. It should be lit.
Or taken in if you
or
don't have
in.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
I do know that one. I don't. Maybe there's a little this and that to that, but I have a solar light, which is becoming popular, so it charges all day, and then it just flips on at
shines at night. That's kind of
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Are there rules about flags on toothpicks in your strawberry shortcake?
Which you is know, what you we would do. Think there would be. Because
we do that on 4th of July.
I know there's some, like, you see those really big flags. I think they call garrison flags.
Yeah, those enormous ones.
There used to be regulations about that, too, that people fly them, but maybe they're not supposed to. There's a lot to it. I just, you know, I took enough so I could display the flags in front of my house correctly, hopefully. You know, you think you know everything, but sometimes you don't. I find that pretty much every minute of the day. But
me too. Huh. It's part of what gets me up in the morning to find out stuff I didn't know already. Pretty good. Hey, do you know what gambogia is? Did you hear that spot?
I imagine that's some type of color.
It is.
Good for you. I'm thinking like a whitish.
Nope. Guess again.
red?
It's kind of a yellowy orange, or at least new gamboge is kind of a yellowy orange or orangey yellow. So I don't know what old gamboge is. Maybe the same thing, only a little kind of mustier, fustier. Who knows?
There used to be a day of just red crayons, and now it's brick red. And
I know it. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, it is Memorial Day. It's a holiday. If you can't tell, we're on holiday here. Tom and I are kind of goofing off and having a nice, relaxing morning and talking to our friends, of whom you are certainly one. So give us a call at 244-1777 or call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. We'd love to hear from you on open mic. What does Memorial Day mean to you? What kind of things can you add to our store of knowledge about this holiday? Do you have stories about this holiday weekend in your past? Has it been a memorable occasion in the past? Pam from Duxbury, how are you on this Memorial Day?
Hey, Hester, how are you?
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm great. I so enjoy your show.
Oh, I'm glad you listen. That's great. It's nice to hear from you.
On the days I'm not at work, which is like today.
Like today. That's good.
Yeah. So I have a question for Tom.
Okay.
He talked about his 20 flags. Does he live on Elm Street?
No.
No. Oh, there's a house on Elm Street on my way to work at the community college where they put out a different flag almost every day, and it makes me smile.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it really is. They're all nationalities, some of our armed forces flags, but they change them up. So I just wondered if that was him, but I guess not.
No, so. I'm actually on River Street. You can, on different, of course, the American flag's up now, and can't remember. I guess I had the Canadian flag up last week because it was Victoria Day on Monday.
Well, that's we have the wonderful. Makings of a flag tour of Montpelier here.
We've got two big stops. That was just a curiosity question.
Well, that's great. Well, I've got one for you, Pam. What's going on at community college these days?
Well, we've got graduation coming up this Saturday.
Oh, boy, that is such a great event. That is such an exciting event.
Of the year.
It really is. It means so much to the people who are there, and there's usually an enormous turnout. It's
we hold it at Norwich. Mm-hmm. Because it's in the central part of the state, and plus the field house can hold the 3,000 people that come toward our graduates. And it is absolutely the best day of the year. I mean, they are so proud of the work they've done. And as you know, some of them, it takes them a while to get their associate's degree because they're working and they have family commitments, but they keep plugging.
And it's a holiday really for the whole family because, as you say, the whole family contributes to making this work.
Their family, their whole support team, they come from all over the state because we're in 12 physical locations with a strong online.
Yep.
So every county, a lot of our border states, so... Yeah, it's pretty special.
It's an amazing day, and I certainly have enjoyed participating in that.
That's what's going on. Summer classes are happening.
Yeah, are summer classes underway already? They must be. Yeah, here we are at the end of May.
Yep.
That's great.
So, anyway, it's always great to hear your voice.
I miss you guys, too, but we'll have to have you in to update us on what's happening here.
Well, there's a lot going on.
Yes, there is. There's always a lot going on at Community College of Vermont, and it's a real gem in Vermont's crown, and we always love to talk about it here on Open Mic. So, Pam, brace yourself. I will be calling you, dragging you in here.
Okay. All right.
Have a great holiday. Bye-bye. You are listening to Open Mic here on WDEV Waterbury, and we're open to your suggestions for topics to discuss this morning, 244-1777, or call us toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, goodness me.
I wonder where that other place is. I'll have to check it out.
I wonder if there's even more. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see people who have a couple different... There's a I can't remember which ones, but there's some other European flags I've seen out there. But they usually just stay with that one. They don't switch it around as much. I try to follow the holidays.
And the prayer flags. I like those, too, because they come in a little string, usually.
It's those are all over the place. There's others. Those I've seen those on River Street and then some of those other suburb areas behind Montpelier, the downtown.
Yep. It's so funny. You think of flags, and they're kind of they're universal. You see them everywhere in all kinds of cultures. You see them in all sorts of countries around the world. You see them in engravings and tapestries going back centuries. And I wonder what the impulse was. I wonder what the first idea was. Did someone, nail a piece of a bearskin to a stick and wave it in the air to get somebody's attention? Was that the first banner, the first flag? I have no idea. It's kind of intriguing. It'd be fun to find that out. And I bet you there's someone in the state of Vermont who has made a study of the history of flags and banners. Maybe we should try and track them down in time for, say, the 4th of July, which is coming up. In the meantime, let's go back to Montpelier and talk to Corinne. Corinne, good morning.
Good morning. I've got the name of your mystery guy on Elm Street.
Oh, you do? Awesome. Pam, I hope you're still listening.
He's one of our best friends. He's a widower that's alone.
Uh-huh.
And he's 85.
Oh, excellent.
And his name is Howard Curtis.
And he flags all these flags. Maybe Howard will call us up and tell us about his flag collection this morning. It'd be very interesting.
Okay, I could maybe give him a call and see if he would.
If you would. Now, do you know anything about his collection? Did he?
No, other than it was brought to our attention because we don't, we live on Town Hill and we go straight into town.
Sure.
So we bypass Elm Street, but we stop and check on him once in a while because he is living alone. And his wife passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, sad.
And he's starting to kind of show his age a little bit.
Well, if he's up for calling in, we'd sure love to hear from him. But if he isn't up for calling in, I also understand, because sometimes people get a little squirrely. I get squirrely about talking to strangers, too. But
He's been working for the sheriff's department.
Okay.
He's very, very local and vocal.
That's terrific. Well, maybe he has called here before, and I just didn't realize it was him. Anyway, tell him how appreciated his collection is. People notice
it. I certainly will.
And they like it. That's great. Well, thanks for calling, Corinne. We appreciate it.
Yep. Bye-bye.
We are WDEV News Radio. Yes, we are here in Waterbury, Vermont, and we are talking about anything you want to talk about today. It's a holiday, so we're kind of having a late morning coffee and chat, and you are one of our most welcome guests. So please give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. So Tom, stay alert, and if Howard from Montpelier calls in, we'll pop him right on the air because he's the fellow with those
flags.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
That sounds pretty exciting, actually. I'd like to hear more about how he came by all those flags and what he thinks about flying them all. What else is going on in the world? You know, it's also kind of like the beginning of, I guess, in conventional terms, the wedding season gets underway starting next month. And the reason I noticed this is there was a really intriguing story on the Associated Press this morning. Times Argus picked it up, which is where I saw it, but then I have also heard it on stations that shall not be named here in the earshot of Mr. Squire. The new wedding gift trend in the Midwest, can you guess what it is? Just stop and think a bit about the Midwest and, what goes on there during the June, July, August, say, till
November.
Something
to do with maybe state fairs or something?
No, it isn't. Well. But think about the other thing that starts June 1st is hurricane season. So
tornadoes?
Well, that's not the gift, but you're on right track.
Yeah. Here you go. I hope you have a good wedding. Here's a tornado.
Blown away. Storm-safe rooms, apparently. You can buy them now. They're kind of like vaults, but you stick your whole family in there if a big storm comes by. This is a new trend in wedding gifts in the Midwest. They are called storm-safe rooms, and they're like prefabricated, tough shelters, which you can install in your house or even in your garage, and your whole family can whip in there if the weather gets really threatening. They are thick steel. They have doors that can stand winds up to 250 miles an hour. There's no windows, no light fixtures or electricity. So I think that must be kind of a grim place to be. It'd be kind of like locking yourself into a safe and hoping that not everybody else, blew away. Somebody could let you out again. That's the new wedding gift trend in the Midwest. Jerry from Callis, glad to have you on the air on Open Mic this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to talk about a little bit of etiquette as far as the U.S. flag goes.
Okay.
For one thing, if you don't have a light at night on your flag, you're supposed to take it down at sunset, and you put it up after sunrise each morning. I've noticed that here in the little village of East Calais, the post office, U.S. post office, doesn't even take it down before they leave from work and put it up in the morning when they come to work. And all my neighbors are the same. They put it up after winter goes away, and they don't ever take it down.
Well, you know what? Maybe people aren't aware. You know, I think there's a lot of those kinds of rules that we all sort of grew up with and knew that have just kind of slipped by the boards and people aren't aware of. What do you think?
It's possible, but of course, I was married to a military veteran.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, I learned the way of doing that for the 20 years that he was in the military.
Yeah, my dad is in the Marine Corps, and his dad was in the cavalry, believe it or not. So we always had that
I knew a person that was in the cavalry. He came to Vermont a long time ago.
Really?
On horseback. And, you know, just as a practice thing, and he was a doctor that I used to go to in Massachusetts.
No kidding.
He told me a lot of stories about that.
Yep, I heard plenty from Pop, my grandfather. There was a great story he used to like to tell the children about being in the cavalry and being in the war along the Texas-Mexico border and being tossed into the clink in Tijuana and being a prisoner of war. Come to find out what happened was they were on R&R, and he went into Tijuana to have a beer or two and got into a scuffle at a bar and got tossed in the brig. The way he ended the story was the cavalry came and rescued him, and basically it was three of his buddies came back over the border and busted him out and got him home again.
Yeah, it's amazing the people you meet that, you know, that you never thought were like that. Like the doctor that I used to go to, and you get into conversations, you find out in their younger life that they did different things, and then he becomes a doctor.
I know, it's really surprising. I guess you can. It's never too late to sort of reboot and try something that you've always wanted to do.
And another thing that bothers me too, you know, about Memorial Day. I mean, I'm not taking away from the celebration and remembering all of our veterans that had, you know, never come home.
Right.
Wounded that are home. And that's right up to the very present day.
Yeah.
They should be honored in every way possible. But I can remember when we didn't only honor our veterans and that had died, for our liberties and came home, you know, and wounded and incapacitated, some of them, for the rest of their life.
That's right.
But we used to remember just ordinary people, loved ones of the family that passed by going to the cemetery, you know, laying flowers, and also putting flags up if they had been in the military.
That's right.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, you know who takes responsibility, I think, for that? At least in my town, I'm part of the East Craftsbury Cemetery Association. There's like five of us.
Yeah,
and that's one thing.
Veterans of themselves that do that.
That's right. A lot of the little associations do that for the veterans.
Yeah, that's very true. And I give them a lot of respect for that because there's so many people now that don't remember.
Right.
You know, and well, our younger generation don't even know why we celebrate Memorial anymore.
Well, then that's our fault. That's on us if they don't know, you know. We need to be talking about it and saying more.
Well, I talk about it a lot,
but
they don't care. They just go off and do their thing, like camping or whatever.
Yeah, it's a holiday, though, too. And you know,
it's a holiday, but I think, you know, you should do something special.
I'm with you, too, and I would imagine that, well, when I'm really honest, if I look back to when I was their age, I wasn't necessarily thinking about honoring military service back then,
well,
but you grow into understanding it.
The reason why I do is because I, you know, followed my husband wherever he went that I could possibly go around the world.
Sure.
And, of course, I couldn't go when he was shipped to Vietnam. I couldn't go when he was in Korea.
Right.
But
But where did you go? Did you travel the world with him while he was in the military?
Well, we spent a lot of time in the European area.
Oh, yeah?
Mainly Spain.
How did you like that?
I loved it.
Really?
I loved the people. They were the greatest people I've ever been in a foreign country that treated you like you were just, you know, I mean, they used to celebrate our memorial celebrations on the base over there.
Oh, that's pretty great.
And we went, first time we went over there for 3 years, we was in the Sevilla area, the southern part.
Yeah.
And then the second time we got shipped to France, De Gaulle threw us out.
Yeah.
We had to leave, and we ended up at Torrejon Air Force Base.
Now, where's that at?
Madrid, Spain.
In Madrid.
And that was a beautiful city, and the people were from a different... the northern and southern part of Spain has a different dialect as far as language and what have you.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, boy, this is great. We're going to Madrid, and I won't have to learn Spanish over again, but I did.
You did? Oh, that's funny. So when you came from France through down to Madrid, did you pass through the Basque territory, which is like this part of Spain that borders right on France there?
Yes.
I spent some time there.
Right up over that mountain and everything because, while we were stationed in France, the doctor, the last one on base, hit us broadside, and our car was all tied up because over there in France, Spain, if you have an accident, the month of August, they take their whole month off of vacation.
I think we should take a note from that. I think we should take a lesson from that.
Well, too, you know, with Spain, they always had, from 12 on, all the shops and the cities closed up and didn't open until 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It called it siesta.
Siesta
time.
For a little rest, but then they would stay up late and eat late.
Yeah, they did.
It was
great. But we traveled to France before when we were stationed in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
We traveled to France, went through Paris and did the number in Paris and continued on and went through and went to Germany, and my husband had a cousin that was stationed up there in Germany. We spent some time with them, and then we were heading for Austria, but our stupid car wouldn't run right.
Is this the same one that got T-boned? Is this the one that got crashed into?
No.
Different car. Oh, boy. You just have luck with wheels, that's all.
The first weekend being in France, we were, you know, got the car, and we were taking a little ride off base to see what was going on, you know, in these country roads, and, you know, it was sort of farmland.
Yeah, it's beautiful in that area. It's just lovely.
It's about 25 miles south of Paris.
Yep. I took the bullet train through that area, and I stayed in a little... A friend of mine got married, and I was invited to the wedding, and I went, and we stayed in this little B&B, and way out in the countryside, and it was the Basque part. It was a region that kind of overlapped France and Spain, and they had this thing they called a bullfight.
Oh,
and I didn't want to go to this is different. This was different. It wasn't the bullfight where you actually stick the bull and kill it. Their idea in this part of France and Spain, there's a crowd in an arena. They pull open a door, a bull, quote-unquote, it actually was often a heifer with somebody put, I don't know, something under her tail, come tearing into the ring, and there are these young men usually standing there, and they're dressed in white from top to toe with little white shoes on. The bull comes running at them, and the game is you jump up in the air as the bull comes at you, and the bull runs underneath you. And if you're really good, when you jump up in the air, you can do a somersault in the air and land.
Oh.
And it's unbelievable to watch. It's just
never
unreal.
Saw that.
Oh, it was incredible. It was just amazing.
We were there in Sevilla. They had a lot of bullfights there. I wasn't the only one because they did. They killed the bull.
Yeah,
but
sad.
In Torrejon, when we got there, Madrid, went to a couple of those too. But they didn't do that up there.
Well, you know what, Jerry? I hate to tell you. I got to let you go because we have to stop and do a little business.
Yeah, well, I know. And I just wanted you to know that I know how Curtis...
Okay, well, see if you can get him to call us up. We'd love to hear from him. Oh, Mr. Curtis apparently is calling in. This is great. Jerry, thank you. We're going to do a little break, and then Howard apparently... Oh, no, I guess we're going to go straight to Mr. Curtis. Okay, Jerry, thanks so much for calling. Is this Howard Curtis? Are you on the line?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your flags. We've been getting a lot of attention this morning. Folks have noticed
well,
your flags.
I got sick of flying just the state and the national flag, you know,
right.
The stars and stripes. So I got through a flag company, and I started accumulating, you know, the Army
yeah.
I was in and the Air Force I was in, and I still haven't got a Navy one up. I've heard a lot of comments on it.
Oh, that's great. Do you get any Marine Corps flags?
No, that's they're on the way.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm partial to the Marines.
Yeah. I do fly the flag from Alaska because it's the only state I haven't been in.
Oh, yeah? That's
yeah.
pretty neat. Wow. So how long have you been doing this?
This is going on. This is my second year.
Well, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, have you made a study, as some folks who've called in have, about what the etiquette is of flying flags? Have you?
No.
Or do you just like to get them out there and let them flap in the wind?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of horns that toot, you know.
I bet you do. Well, next time I'm coming
through. For the guys going through.
Well, I'll tell you, next time I'm coming through Montpelier, I'm going to toot too. I'm going to be looking for those flags, and I think you're doing a great public service and beautifying downtown Montpelier. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You are tuned to Open Mic here on WDEV, and we'll be right back after these messages. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning. Tom McLeod and I are sitting here having late cups of coffee and chatting with the folks who happen by, and we would love to hear from you. So give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. Let's travel up to Stowe and talk to Margaret. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk with you. I come from a family of, I have five sisters.
Uh-huh.
My father is a World War II Marine, combat Marine.
Excellent.
And he just turned 90. He enlisted at a younger age because I think he lied.
Yeah.
But first off, my grandfather's two brothers went into World War I. Both of them luckily came home.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed behind to take care of my grandmother. The father had died. Then my mother's three cousins, they all lived, all the sisters that came over from Ireland had these kids. The three boys all went into Air Force. One flew a B-17.
Mm.
He just turned 98 last week.
Wow.
The second one flew a, what the heck is it called? A Liberator, B-24.
Yeah.
And the other one flew a B-24, but he was shot down in
wow.
Belgium, and a family took him in, and then he... somebody ratted him out, so he went into German prisoner war camp.
Oh,
but they all came home, too.
That's tremendous. Well, you know, there's a special place in heaven for the folks who take you in when you,
oh,
you fall out
word.
Of the sky.
Well, he and his wife were able to go back and visit that family had taken him in. And then Dad, one of his funny stories, he was in Okinawa at the end of the war, and they were on the island, and of course the Navy was all outside, and all of a sudden everything's blowing up and they're shooting off rockets and everything they had just to celebrate, and the Marines are like, what the hell's happening? And they say that evidently the war's over. They didn't understand that Hiroshima and Nagasaki had happened.
They
didn't know what that meant. And Dad and all his guys were like, does that mean we can go to sleep now? And then my cousin is a Naval Academy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 58, so he's a couple years older than me. And he was a lieutenant on a nuclear submarine. And then my husband was in the Vietnam business. But my most interesting thing were from my mother, who's 4 years younger than my father, and the stories that she tells about what it was like back home.
What does
everybody.
She say? That's interesting.
Yeah, she really tells interesting things about, you know, the salvaging of things, the rationing of things, the
right.
victory gardens. Everybody just pulled together in such a different way than they do now. And then when the war ended, they lived in New Jersey. And her mother, this old Irish lady, let her go on a train with a boy, you know, a neighborhood kid, over to Manhattan.
Oh,
to,
boy.
You know, for the big parade and everything.
Yeah.
Yep. And she said it was just, it was like the things you see in the movies.
Just a big celebration.
Yeah,
you know, that business of everybody pulling together and pitching in together is different.
It doesn't exist now. I'm very disturbed by that because this is my culture of my family. I mean, we were raised with this idea that You know, you all, well, we do that in Vermont, though, don't we?
Yes, I think we do that. And I also think it's sort of funny. I teach, or I have taught in the past, and I used to teach a long time ago. I used to teach at Linden State College, and I can't remember what the occasion was, but we were talking about memorable events in our childhoods. And for me, there was the space program. There were all these kind of magical things. And, of course, during my teen and college years, there was the conflict in Vietnam and being part of something larger than myself. I'll tell you right out, I was not for that war. And I was part of a community of very active people in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who misplaced no opportunity, overlooked no opportunity to make that view known. But anyway, my point is that it made me part of something much bigger than myself. And the kids in the class that time, we were talking, they were racking their brains trying to think of something similar. And the event that was bigger than themselves that they all referenced was the explosion of the Challenger, believe it or not. What a difference that is in a childhood, you know? A difference. Yeah. If you come up through something that's strong and powerful and you see an effect of your own individual effort on a larger stage, and then to have that kind of thing where you're sitting passively watching and it just kind of goes up in smoke. What a different outlook you would take into your adulthood, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, there's no participation there. It's happening to someone else versus, the way my mother, who was so young at the time, describes what everybody was doing, knowing all the boys in her life were going over. And when Uncle Jimmy, there were three boys, and my aunt had the oldest one. Oh, another quick story.
Sure.
The letters that Uncle John, who just turned 98 last week, he would write letters to my aunt, and he was flying these planes when in Africa. I mean, he was way before the war even started. And Marge would... we have these collection of letters, and they were censored, you know?
Yeah.
So she would ask him, where are you, you know? And it would take a long time for them to come back. But the letters that came back, he would say things like, well, you chose three places. I'm in one of those maybe today. You know?
Oh,
you just don't know. But I'm actually in the process of retrieving them back from my parents.
That's fantastic. I'm engaged in something similar. We just had to clean out my mom's house, which had been occupied by a large family for 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of become the unofficial family archivist. So I have all these things.
I am too.
I know, and it just comes
everybody
to you.
Everybody keeps saying you take care of it all.
I'm actually grateful because
I love it.
I love going through those old things.
I love it.
I have old letters between my grandparents when they were courting back at the turn of the last century. I have, and I just found a whole trove of correspondence between my parents when they were starting to be an item. And
that's
just
cute.
It's more than cute. It's very powerful. It's very wonderful to read. It's really great.
Well, I do not let my I have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let them forget any of this.
That's
and my
great.
Father has a great trove of items from his time in the Corps, the Corps.
Yep.
And also, I got my husband and I drove down to Baltimore to take him while he was still able to Quantico, to the Marine Corps Museum.
Great.
And if anybody's listening and you've got a parent or a son or anybody who's a Marine, go to Quantico and go to the museum because it's priceless.
I think that would be tremendous. And it would be tremendous to go with someone who had been there under other circumstances, too, I think. I would love to do that. Well, listen, Margaret, you know, I think I'm going to revisit this topic maybe a little bit towards Veterans Day. And I hope you'll be online again.
Believe me.
That would be great. And
we can talk about these things. Thank you for calling.
You are listening to Open Mic here on WDEV, and we are coming up on the 10 o'clock hour. We have a couple minutes, and we will be breaking for news and possibly a little bit of weather, and we will be back for another hour. This morning, it's very casual. It's a holiday morning. Tom and I are pulling on our second cups of coffee and waiting just, you know, for the phone to ring and hanging out, and people are stopping by and calling in and having little tales and memories and remembrances and discussions of flags and discussions of military history in our families. And it's just been kind of really fun and casual, and it's great fun for me to get to know everybody in this way. So think about it. Give us a call. Drop by 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. I guess we got about a minute. Is that right?
About a minute and 45 seconds.
So we still have some time to fill.
Yes, well, we had flag etiquette and what Memorial Day means as far as people who have served, but also interesting stories about who people were, where they served, maybe not finding about it till later, and also finding a lot of history just in your own attic.
Absolutely. Or hanging across your street, as in this case of Mr. Curtis and his public beautification project he's got going down there on Elm Street in Montpelier. I'm definitely driving down to check that out. I think that's just tremendous and lots of fun. So we're looking forward to hearing from you on the other side of our news break. So whittle up your dialing finger or your button punching finger and plan to give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. And I have just time enough to remind you that you are tuned to WDEV, the nifty 550 AM, also broadcasting on the FM dial at 96.1 in Warren, 96.5 FM in Barrie, Vermont, and blanketing the Northeast Kingdom at 102.9 FM. WDEV, we will be back. Good morning and welcome back on Memorial Day morning. You're tuned to Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you till 11 o'clock this morning. I'm here every Monday from 9 until 11. Tom McLeod and I are here enjoying our leisurely holiday Monday morning, and we invite you to join us. And give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. I learned a lot of interesting things so far this morning. I'm looking forward to what the second hour of our program brings. Learned a lot about flags so far and about military-related themes and feeling that there may be a lot of really wonderful stories out there that folks have from friends and family who served in the military and brought back. I know this is a time of somber reflection and of honoring folks who made tremendous sacrifices, but if your family is like my family, when the military vets get together, there are also an exchange of tales that sometimes are well suited to a summer day. Lots of interesting things came up, certainly in my family, as folks were reflecting on characters they had known during their time in the service. And if you've got stories like that, we'd like to hear them too. Give us a call, 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. Esta from Montpelier, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello, this is Esther.
Hi, Esther. What's new?
A name from the Bible.
Me too.
No, I had one nephew that was in the service, but the other, he didn't go right in the service, but he was in National Guard till he retired.
Oh, yeah?
So that just is good because...
It sure is.
And one day I wanted to talk to you, and I couldn't get to... Well, I know. I finally got the number, so I got this. Because you had one day where maybe I understood it wrong, something about they might not have history in school anymore.
Oh, yeah, we had a caller who was very concerned about
they
that.
I talked to somebody that knows something about... said they do have it in school.
Well,
but
sure.
One thing that gets me is they didn't know about President Roosevelt. Well, I'll tell you a story about that. When I was a little girl in the fourth grade,
yeah,
because we had Bible, we used to read about the Bible and say a prayer and everything.
Sure.
I won't worry no more now, but we did. I didn't think it hurt me any. So anyway, President Roosevelt, we had these little New Testament Bibles. And he signed them.
Really?
And I had one for a long number of years. Whatever happened to it, I don't know.
Oh, it's lost.
I wished I still had it. But we did have these, and it was signed right by him.
No kidding. Now, did it come to you? Did they hand them out in school?
Well, we had these little, like I said, every day before school started, I imagine it was for school, when we had this little Bible thing here.
Yeah.
It talked about the Bible, and I don't know how it happened that we happened to get one, but I do know I had one.
I think that's tremendous. Now, where did you go to school?
Well, when I got that, I was in East Barrie, Vermont.
Okay.
Because I lived there till I was 13.
13, okay.
Well, I was 13, and I left.
Now, did your dad work in the granite industry?
Vermont, except 10 years in Connecticut, in Waterbury.
Yeah.
And I lived about maybe a year or something in Piedmont, New Hampshire. But if you're in Piedmont, New Hampshire, you can almost say you're in Vermont because you're just across the river.
Yep. Now tell me about being in East Barrie then. Was your dad in the granite industry or what was it?
No, he just worked on the road.
Oh, I see.
Before
okay.
He knew how to do, you know, because you know where the main road is?
Yeah.
Where you get into before, as you go up Main Street, East Barry, because they got names of street now, which they didn't when I was on.
Right, but it's like Route 116 or something.
Street there, and when he worked on the road, boy, you know, when it comes springtime, you had a lot of problems with the road usually, and he knew just what he was doing. He worked from 7 in the morning until 4 at night.
Wow, that's a long day.
But, I mean, he'd work all day. And then, remember when they had depression?
Yes.
Well, you could go and get food.
Oh, yeah? Where would you go?
Going to. And they said, you know, it doesn't matter how much he earned a week. He said, you're just eligible to go get it. It's anybody out. So he finally did, but he didn't want to go get nothing.
Right, right. But I mean,
he felt, said, well, I'm doing all right. And I mean, I can say one thing. I never was so poor that I had to go pick garbage cans. I mean, we maybe had to live on hamburger and stuff as you wish you never see it again almost. But I mean, we always had enough to eat.
Yeah, well, you know what? And if you have the family core, too, that's the important piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And as far as the flag, now I live, do you know where the Pioneer, do you know where the Gary home is?
Yes.
You know where the Pioneer apartment is?
I sure do.
That's where I live.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, we do have a flag out here by the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they never take it down.
Yeah. They leave it up all the time.
They stay there day and night.
Does they have a light on it?
Yeah.
At nighttime, is it?
Is there a light where the flag boat was ready to?
Oh, at nighttime.
I don't know if that. But
two mailboxes.
It's where the mailboxes are. Where
okay. Next time I'm driving by there, I will crane my neck around and see if I see it.
Okay, well, you should be able to see it because you had to go by the sidewalks to go through, you know.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's just as you start to come down into our driveway.
Okay, well, I will keep my eyes peeled. Esther from Montpelier, I really appreciate your call, and thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful Memorial Holiday. We're looking to hear from you this morning out there. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. You know, Artie Levine just came in, Tom, and he reminded me this is another a big day for another activity because we're coming up on the end of the month. A lot of folks are moving this weekend, changing digs, changing places where they live.
Is that because of school and whatnot?
Well, so it's, you know, it's, if you're renting, you know, you might have to pay your rent at the first of the month. So this is the weekend closest to the first. And so a lot of folks are pulling up stakes and moving somewhere.
All kinds of things going on.
Yeah, I hate moving in the humidity.
The worst move I ever had is, and I thought it would be the best move, is I moved from a studio to a one-bedroom.
Whoa.
Still, when I lived over there. But just to go across the hall, maybe 10 feet, took forever. You would think that, you know, you have all those boxes. It takes. I mean, it must have taken me a whole weekend. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Did you have the illusion that you could fit all your stuff from the studio into the supposedly larger apartment?
Yeah, it's like getting those smaller shopping carts.
Yeah, it's like trying to refold
a
map. You know?
Right, like you're going to save by getting a smaller cart. You can fit just as much into the smaller cart
as by and
large. You
sure can. I know it. Yeah, when I think about moving, I think about U-Haul trailers. And a lot of people use U-Haul boxes and trailers. U-Haul for a while had what I considered to be the loudest misfire in American branding. Their slogan, Adventures in Moving. That's the last thing I want when I move. How about you? I don't want adventures. I want it to be a totally uneventful occasion. Adventures in moving. If you're moving this weekend, we'd like to hear the stories. We'd like to have you have a little break. You have my permission to put down that heavy box and take a little minute and give us a call and tell us how you're doing. We'd sure love to hear you.
We have a caller right now. I just,
oh, good.
I'll let you.
All right. So Tom is going to flip the wires around and get us all straightened out.
I didn't get the name, so if you
that's
can
okay,
just,
I'll just say howdy.
We'll just do that.
Yep. Are they there now? Hi there. Who's calling, please?
Hi, I'm Shirley from Bradford.
Hi.
And I wanted to change the subject a little. You've
sure.
So many things very well this morning, and I don't want to add to all of that. There's too many stories to tell anyway. But I'd like to switch back. The Vermont Historical Society is doing something about the Back to the Land movement, but they're kind of starting in the 70s. And I have, and listening to you, I'm assuming that you're one of the women farmers that's notorious here in Vermont.
Well, I haven't, I wouldn't glorify myself that way. I have had my toe in kind of an amateur way for a long, long time, I'll put it that way.
Well, it's, lots of us have, but I showed up, we bought a farm in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
This is a couple of women from out of state. In fact, at that time we were moving in from Manhattan, but I had grown up on a Connecticut tobacco farm.
Oh, wow.
I learned to operate a hoe at a tender age. And, it's a valuable skill.
It is.
Even fitness. I mean, and those old tobacco hoes are a lot bigger than these nice, dainty ones
yeah.
that people have for gardens these
yep.
days.
Yes, that's
but
for sure.
Anyway, I thought, you know, it's. I'd like to hear some of your background and your agricultural.
Oh, I just it's kind of boring. You know, I've done the usual things. I've had some sheep and I have some chickens and I have four alpacas right now who I'm completely crackers about.
Oh, that's good enough. I tend to shock people. I explained to them we raised beef for uh-huh. many years, and it was before grass-fed became a
sure.
term of endearment to
yep.
a lot of us. We didn't invent it, but it was not a very common thing to do.
Sure.
But I characterize, when I want to shock people about this, I characterize myself as both the midwife and the executioner. The animals had a happy life. They never left the farm. They weren't traumatized by getting loaded into
mm-hmm.
trailers or anything.
Yep.
Unless we were forced to sell one occasionally.
Yep. No, and I think that's true. And I think that folks who live at a remove from where their food comes from find it sort of horrifying. But I have a wonderful neighbor who was a dairy farmer himself for years and years. And when I was going, I go through that trauma every time I raise meat birds because I get really fond of them and I make the mistake of naming them and stuff like that. And then it's time to put them in the freezer. And he said to me, you know, Hester, you've taken care of them for a long time and now they're going to take care of you.
Yes, so that's the way it should be.
That helped me a great deal.
As a child, I got to be the executioner of chickens various times,
oh,
you know,
God.
Lopping their heads off. That was,
oh, my.
You know, you get brought up that way, then you don't feel guilty about all of this stuff.
No, you know Temple Grandin, that lady who has done so much on animal, well, she does a lot of stuff on animal processing facilities. That's kind of her thing. She's given a bunch of TED Talks, too. She said the important thing is not so much the fact that don't beat yourself up about killing them. Make sure they have as good a quality of life as they possibly can have while they're alive. And it sounds like that was kind of the attitude you guys had.
Yes, well, and it's painful in execution, as you
could. It's painless, yeah. Yeah.
No,
right.
it's all part of the process, and it's a shame
cycle.
That so few people are being brought up in that tradition now, and we have so much argument over whether you should execute animals or, you know, I don't even go there. But
I don't
anyway,
even go there either.
I just wanted to get a little of your background because I've been listening and finding it interesting, and I think there are more stories. And I think the Vermont Historical Society ought to be starting in the 60s rather than the 70s.
I think so, too. They're not? They're starting in the 70s with that piece of it all?
Well, it's sort of, they're kind of emphasizing the so-called hippie movement,
okay,
or the back
yeah.
to the land, as they're calling it. But I don't think some of the hippies were certainly not future farmers, but
no.
they did have various, it's the collectives that they're
yeah.
kind of concentrating
now,
on.
Now, what year, Shirley, did you come here? What's your year?
I bought the farm in 63.
That's right.
And decided
that.
We better pay for it before we, and this was 200 acres for $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So paid for it promptly and
That's
came
great.
The following, 2 years later, moved here then in 66 and taught school and farmed, braised beef, and all of that sort of thing. So,
you know, you just gave me a great idea for a program. We could do a whole hour on this easily, don't you think? We could get folks to call in and tell stories about that time. And
well, certainly. And I was thinking, you know, there's a name historically that some of your people, when you get elderly folks calling in, if anybody remembers Sylvester Vigilante,
uh-huh.
he worked in Manhattan at the New York Historical Society, but he had land here in Vermont, and he came up here every summer. And when we worked together, and when I bought a farm here, that was the greatest, that was the achievement of my life in
mm-hmm.
his estimation. information.
That's great. That's tremendous. You know, we're going to revisit this topic, Shirley, and I really want to thank you because you're the one who's now got the bee actively buzzing in my bonnet about doing this. I have to cut away to another caller who's been waiting patiently on the line, but we're definitely going to come back to this topic in a future program. Jean from Barrie, you're on the air on Open Mic this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's new?
Oh, we got a nice day for Memorial Day.
Oh, good. I can't see from here.
I'm from a military family.
Uh-huh.
I'm in my 80s. My father served in World War II under General Patton.
Wow.
He was missing in action, but he found his way back to company. He came back home safe and sound.
Oh, boy. That must have been terrifying for your family, though.
Oh, it was. I turned 11 the next month after he left.
Oh, wow.
My three brothers have all been in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a son that was 22 years in the Marines.
Wow.
So I honor, you know, that being from a military family, too. I know what it's like.
Yep. No, and it's good to hear.
I honor them and the ones today serving, too.
Yep. It's good to hear from the folks who
were.
That's true. But I also think it's important to honor the folks who were at home, who minded the home front, because
that's right.
That's a special kind of a challenge.
Boy, the people pitched in and helped. The people were very good.
What's your fondest memory of that time?
My fondest one would be at that time. My father came back home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how long had he been really missing and you guys didn't know what had become of him before you did find out?
Well, it was kind of nerve-wracking. You know?
I bet.
They at first said where he was missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the thing that he found his way back himself and his company, and that was good. And he was okay. So I've had sons-in-laws. I had one son-in-law served over in Afghanistan.
Well,
I think most everybody has had somebody serve in their family somewhere, you know.
Yeah. And many of us have lost people, too, in that kind of service.
That's right. But, I haven't known any of my ones that lost their lives, but I had a son-in-law when he was over in Afghanistan. He had a stroke.
Really? In Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Wow,
and
what happened?
He was in bed and sleeping, and his friend came in to get him, and he tried to get up.
Oh,
and,
boy.
But he said, can you help me? So his friend knew, so they got the help for him. He had a strike. Of course, that ended his career, but he'd been quite a few years because he was in the Guards when he was about 17,
uh-huh.
right up through.
So did he go to Afghanistan with the Guard? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went as a Guard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I have a really good friend who's a woman who.
No, we can't do enough for our men at Iran and our veterans.
That's for sure. I think you're absolutely right, Jean, and I really appreciate your call.
I was born there, right there in Waterbury.
Yeah.
When my father left, and I lived in a place that, like, the swimming pool was just about in back of my house.
No kidding.
It was next door to the, I don't know, you probably don't remember that, but Flannery Store. There on North Main Street.
I think that predates my time, but I certainly heard the name.
Yeah, we live next door.
Yeah.
To that store.
Oh, yeah. What do you know? So you know the neighborhood over here real well.
Well, I don't know if it's well now. We moved from there when I was 13,
I'm
in my 80s now. So.
Well, I have a feeling that downtown Waterbury hasn't changed all that much.
I moved. Well, it's been nice talking to you.
It's certainly been nice talking to you. You too. Thank you, Jean from Barrie, and we hope you'll call us again. We'd like to hear from you as well. If you haven't called in a while, or if you haven't called in at all, please give us a call. We're just having a nice leisurely Monday, Memorial Day, Monday morning. It's pulling on our second cup. Well, by now it's on my third cup of coffee. So if I'm talking faster, Tom, you just need to flag me.
Must calm.
Must calm down. That's right. We'd
Jedi
love to hear
training.
From you. Yeah, well, Jedi. I did pass the little, what do they call those things? Midichlorians in the bloodstream?
Something. Now we're getting really Star Wars geeky.
The Force is not strong within
me
this morning. Yep. No, I am a Star Wars geek. That's true. Okie dokie. We'd love to hear from you. 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. How are you spending this holiday? Are you moving like Artie? Are you hanging out, getting ready for a parade somewhere? Do you have little people or big people in your neighborhood that are getting ready to be in a parade somewhere? I think I saw some folks standing in front of the Legion here as I came in. There's a parade here, right? I can't remember. Tom's putting on his headphones. He doesn't know, so maybe someone here can tell me. Terry from Moncton, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. I just thought I'd call in my play father, one of the most important people in my life, was in World War II, fighter pilot with the Army Air Force, and trained pilots down the Southwest.
Uh-huh.
And his usual with military veterans, his war stories were hilarious.
Yep.
And
are there any you can share on a family station?
Yeah, he used to train pilots down in the Southwest,
right.
New Mexico, in that area. And when they go out on flights, they would herd sheep.
Herd sheep?
Yes, which irritated the shepherds to win.
I bet.
You got P-51s and whatever coming down real close to the ground.
Oh, chasing boy.
Sheep all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
But they had a lot of fun doing it. And he had one story where he came back. They had after the shepherds had complained and other animal keepers, they had a rule. They couldn't go below 500 feet.
Uh-huh.
And they came back after one. He and his partner came back, and the colonel came out and started chastising them. And he stated, you know, we never went below 500 feet, but there was about 100 feet of barbed wire hooked on his partner's tail.
Oops.
And so he got grounded for a little while.
Oh, man, and the shepherd, I just can't imagine the sheep who are not, how should we put this kindly, not the sharpest tools in the shed, I guess. I wonder what they made of all that.
But, I knew several of the fellows from World War II, mm-hmm. and their stories, well, like one was a tank driver, and uh-huh. he enjoyed it because the tanks carried the liquor. And they had cases of liquor stacked on the tank, and they pulled into one town in France, and as he turned left up the main street, there was a Tiger tank sitting at the other end of the street,
uh-huh.
gun barrel right at him.
Oh, boy.
And so they threw it in reverse and lost control of it, went through a store window and dropped the tank into the basement.
Where does this get funny?
After that, he was a ground soldier.
I bet he was.
But the infantry went up and attacked this Tiger tank, which was out of gas and no people in it.
Oh, my goodness. Not to worry.
But took care of his tank.
I guess so.
I don't know if that tank's still in the basement of the store.
I don't know if the liquor bottles all broke inside that tank when he hit the basement.
He was in trouble for that.
I bet that's what got him in trouble.
Most of the liquor.
Oh, that's really funny. And my dad used to tell these hilarious stories. They mostly featured this friend of his named John Aubrey Broadbear, whose nickname was Bubbles. And when he would tell Bubbles stories, my mother would go, hush, hush, not in front of the children. So we always wanted to hear the Bubbles stories.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He was in the South Pacific, and he used to tell a story that he and Bubbles are sitting out one day, and I don't know what kind of watch they were on, but they were cleaning their weapons and just talking, and Bubbles' rifle went off, and it punctured one of the barrage balloons, you know, those great big helium things they put up there to keep...
Right.
And the balloon kind of went, whoop, you know, shrank in the middle, and so commanding officer, somebody higher up in the chain than they were, who they weren't terribly fond of, this little officious person came running out, and they had to haul the balloon down, and of course they couldn't find the hole because it was tiny. It was the size of a little thing, so they had to drag a whole new one out and put it up there. But Bubbles was often doing things that I really can't talk about on the radio.
Right. Yeah, well, that's kind of the way of the service, and mm-hmm. you know, my oldest brother was in the Navy, next one was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Corps, and my younger brother was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to look at all of them.
Yeah.
And
you and your siblings, did you serve more or less the same time?
More or less.
Yeah.
You know, depending on age.
Sure, yeah.
But it was interesting to me, and still I'm proud of the fact that the only one that came out of it really proud of the service and still proud of it was me.
Well, and you should be.
It's a special place.
It is. My father regarded himself as a Marine to the day he died, still.
Sure.
Yep, and I can totally understand that. And
I just wanted to... I'm sitting here remembering who I call my play father, and...
I'd have to know...
A couple of years ago, but...
Sometime you'll have to call me in again and tell me more about that story, and I really appreciate your calling and sharing these stories, especially the tank that backed itself into a basement. when there turned out to be no actual threat. Terry from Moncton giving us a call here this morning, and we hope you will too. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255 on this Memorial Day. We'll be back after some messages here on Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you for another half hour or so, at which time we'll welcome Bill Sayre and the Common Sense Radio program, which is here every Monday through Friday from 11 to 12. A little later, we have Red Sox baseball coming up, don't we, Tom?
Yeah, and what a great game, too, because they're playing the Orioles, and they've been battling for the top of the American League East. And let's see, we have that coming your way, the at 12:50.
So stay tuned. And then between 12 and 12:50, what do we have after Bill Sayre?
After Bill's, well, it's the midday news service.
That's right.
Yeah, and that right up until 1. I believe Lee's back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen him yet, but I can say, I'm pretty sure he's coming back today. So he went all over the place, and he doesn't take much time off, so it's good that he was able to get away.
I'm glad he was able to recharge and get back. Yeah, but he called me last night to be sure I was coming today.
Oh, like, okay. You could have really messed with him and said, what do you mean?
I wouldn't do that to
no,
someone. Just
no, that's
first
not
day
right.
back from vacation is hard enough, you know.
Yeah, that's you almost need a vacation after vacation sometimes. So.
Yeah, I often wonder why I took the time, because there's just so much scrambling you have to do when you get back. But it's worth it. A little recharge is a good thing. Between now and the top of the hour, though, we're looking to hear from you at 244-1777. 1-877-291-8255 is the phone number. And we're all over the boards this morning on topics, because I threw the mic wide open to talk about what you wanted to talk about. And we've had all kinds of interesting little tidbits tossed in here. I've been enjoying the war stories. Folks have been sharing some of the stories that they heard from their military brethren or parents. Or sibling, or cousin, or just plain friend. And those are really interesting to listen to. Folks who've served in the various services, and folks who have served in various conflicts or various protective missions around the world. We like to hear about that on this day, which is our day to honor and remember those among us who have served to protect all of us. Memorial Day weekend, 2016. We'd love to know what you're doing with this day. If you have a day when you're not having to go to your office or your job, place of work, how are you spending the time? Are you going to a parade somewhere? Are you going to work in your own backyard? Are you going to, I don't know what. What other things do people do? They move, like Artie Levine is in the middle of moving.
Oh, well, of course, people, I do know of people visiting the cemeteries.
Yes.
That's not as done as much, but there's still, I guess, might be just the region. I know my hometown of Barrie, that's just something people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually this time of year, throughout the summer, but definitely around this time, make sure everything, and then for the veterans out there, the flags you can put in, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of solemn.
Yep.
But nice. It's a good thing to do.
But it's also good. It's a good time to remember people who are also real people in our lives, who we loved and who were funny and who made us laugh and who ultimately took amazing care, not only of us, but of all our country people, countrymen as well. Give us a call here and tell us what you're doing with your Memorial Day holiday, 244-1777, or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. This is the day that's heralded as the unofficial start of the summer season as well. Dragging your kayak out, if you haven't done that already. Are you planning a trip to the swimming hole, skinny dipping, or as we do in my family, chunky dunking?
What is that?
Chunky dunking?
Never
it's skinny dipping for chunky people.
I shouldn't have asked, but hey, why not?
It's skinny dipping for the well-upholstered.
Sounded like some type of brownie or something.
Yeah, well, it could be.
Yeah, brownie or chocolate chip cookie or something.
Chunky dunking. Yep, it's good. Well, the stream is a little chilly right now.
It is pretty cold. Lake Champlain was just 55 a couple days ago. So, but with this humidity and stuff, you wouldn't think that that'll be the case. I think another thing, the state parks just opened up, many of them.
That's right.
So that's, and certainly when that happens, people thinking, well, yeah, summer's here. Because it doesn't last long. I think they're open officially to Labor Day. You still can go over when they're not open. But
yeah. The month of May is amazing that way. You know, it starts out all sere and cold, and occasionally, even with snow on the ground on the 1st of May.
A couple Mondays ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, look and see. You look outside, and it's all those 1,700,000 colors of green, and the leaves are all out, and first thing I notice is I can hear the sound of the leaves, and you know, I haven't heard it for months and months and months, but I can hear it in the morning.
That wisping.
I love that.
Yeah.
and the birds. That, there's nothing to get a sense of the size of the space you live in and to get up early and stand on your porch and just listen to the birds because you can hear them at all sorts of distances. And it just makes you feel like you're living in a big, big place.
There's some of those winter birds, and they're fun to watch, but to hear all those birds, and that's one of the strange things I find about winter, the cold. Everybody talks about that, but just how silent it is.
I know it. Yeah.
You know, you're not hearing the leaves. You're not hearing, you'll hear the winter wind blow, but that's kind of a haunting. It's not quite as comforting.
It's true. I know I've said this before. One of my favorite things to do in the winter is to bundle up really warm, get like a tea or a cocoa, and sit on my porch in a blizzard. Because it's absolutely dead silent. There's no traffic. The wind will whip the snowflakes around. I can hear that. I have chickadees that come and visit my feeder no matter what the weather, and I can watch them. But it's so quiet. All you can hear is the beating of their wings, you know, and it's just the most exquisite thing. And then contrast it with what you hear on mornings like this when it's just everything's alive.
And this time of year, as long as things don't get too out of control, it's fun to watch the rain, especially if there's a big rain on the front porch like I do, and just cools things right down like it did somewhat yesterday evening.
It's something like thunderstorm. I love to be up high on a mountainside or something and to watch a thunderstorm come in over a valley. It's breathtaking.
It's nice when you can see it. Like my dad lives up at the Bolton Ski Resort, and you can see the clouds, and they'll hit the base of the mountain, and they'll go straight up. They'll do all of this stuff that Roger Hill would know exactly what it's doing.
I know.
We're just like, isn't that neat? But, of course, then it comes, I think what happens, it comes flying off of Lake Champlain, and get stuck. That Bolton Mountain Range is one of the first ones.
Sure.
That's why they, I think, put the ski resort there, because it gets for a weird location, lost snow, because it's the first range it hits.
And it just collides and burbles right up. It's like foaming, like in a sugar pan or a boiling pot of water. It just kind of foams up over the top. When I'm coming up here, usually from Craftsbury, up from Morrisville, and I'm heading up, there's that stretch of, I guess it's Route 15, and you can see sort of across the valley, and you can see the clouds coming in. If they're coming from the west, you can see them sort of slam into the mountain ridge there and kind of bubble up over the top and come down the other side. It's pretty amazing.
Reminds me of the Elmore Mountain area.
Oh, God.
Because you'll see things just bottleneck there. And it could be snowing over there and sunny in Morrisville.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I like a lot is the look of Elmore Mountain when you're up on like the road, but Town Hill Road in Wolcott, and you look across there in January, and it's just a glitter fest.
Yeah,
it just
all
sparkles.
Over
it's unbelievably beautiful. Cold.
Can be cold.
But gorgeous. Just beautiful. Yeah, well, you know, people don't need to hear me waxing on about the beauties of the place we live. You all know well enough how lucky we are to be here and to see these things outside there. How are you spending your first unofficial day of summer? How are you spending this Memorial Day holiday? 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We're here for another 20 minutes or so, and then we're going to welcome Bill Sayre to the microphone.
Rob Roker are kind of continuing what we've been talking about. Why is Memorial Day important for every Vermonter and every other American to remember? So Rob Roper and Bill Sayre will be along at just after the 11 o'clock news.
That's right. A program of the Ethan Allen Institute Common Sense Radio here on WDEV every Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock. We need to take some messages. Is that what that little hand signal was? Okay, there we go. We have these little hand signals and winks and secret handshakes that we do here through the glass so we can communicate. Okay, let's stop and take a little bit of a break and give folks time to call in. It is time for a little bit more open mic. I was caught off guard there because I love that song. I'm stuck waiting for the lyric to break out. You are tuned to Open Mic here on WDEV Radio in Waterbury. Been here for a long, long time. Not this morning, but the station has been here for a long, long time. And it's a real mainstay, at least, of my morning routine. And appreciate the fact that you're listening, too. Give us a call and tell us how you're spending this Monday morning, holiday morning. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Had a lot of interesting calls this morning, Tom, and some really good ideas for future segments, I think.
Yeah.
I think that Back to the Land idea would be really interesting. I'd love to hear some stories, particularly from the women who moved up here then. We hear about the farming. We hear about the agriculture. We hear about sort of the hippie politics of that time. But oftentimes the women's stories are kind of in the background, and I think it would be very, very, very interesting to do a half hour on that.
Get a guest, somebody that was involved in that movement, and then integrate it with the listeners and the memories. Of course, one thing that seems to be a theme today is just people who have served but not necessarily knowing where they were because of secrecy or just it was hard to talk about. So many times you'll see in obituaries somebody who might have been the guy that was at the general store forever, who you thought you knew, but little did you know they were in the Battle of the Bulge or in Iwo Jima or just did these amazing things.
There are an awful lot of stories, and Vermonters are often kind of they're modest, or they're, yes. they don't kind of toot that about themselves, and so you don't know until it's too late to ask them for more details. But the stories that people bring are interesting, and one of my favorite things about doing this on Monday morning is to have people call in and to pick their brains a little and hear more about what brought them here, what brought us both to this particular microphone at this particular moment, and you know where they were before they got as far as this moment on this day. It's really interesting to me anyway. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Go ahead, call in. Make my day.
A little Clint Eastwood over there. We've done Star Wars. We've done Clint Eastwood.
Oh, I know. The pop culture references are just spilling over.
It happens. Rusty Deweese has talked about, and I think it's one of the many great things he says when he's not joking, and oftentimes he's very serious about what he says, but it's about the importance of getting to know your grandparents.
Oh, God,
your
yeah.
great-grandparents, that mm-hmm. sometimes that gets overlooked. It's like, oh, no, here comes Grandma. She wants to give me a kiss. They run away. that old type of thing. But I can remember my great-grandmother would probably be well into her hundreds now.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about when the first automobile came through Barry.
Oh, really?
And they lined the streets to watch it go by. Now, of course, it's no big deal. But watching that, and then she later went to, she saw the space shuttle launch.
It's amazing,
so
isn't it?
Everything that she saw.
Yeah, it's just incredible. My grandma was born in 1899. My great-grandmother was born 2 years before the start of the Civil War.
Think of that.
Think of what she saw. She lived into the 1930s. She lived a good long life. And the things that she saw is just amazing. And the story, I mean, the stories, I think we tend to romanticize some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
People had more grit than we do. I think we probably have just as much inborn grit as they did. We may not have the discipline to really make it stick, but that can be fixed. We can fix that. But, yeah, was it Rusty who said that? That you
Rusty
should,
Deweese, just to talk yeah. to or talk to your neighbor.
Well,
just
sure.
trying to train. He did a talk at Kiwanis once.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was their scholars program that they do. The scholarship for some of the young scholars. This was a few years back. He came up and, you know, he did his funny stuff.
Yeah.
But then he also wanted to be, you know, reach out, talk to somebody, trying to communicate because, you know, there was that great quote I saw online the other day, the world needs more tackle boxes, not Xboxes.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So it's funny, but it's true.
I think that's true.
If you're trained to do that, it's funny. My friends were saying, I don't have a cell phone. I got to get one maybe just because of the travel I do, but I said, well, you guys are always, and next thing before I could tell them, you know, you guys are always, we're outside, we're loading up the car to move, and they're not talking to me, they're both texting.
I know it.
I said, see, this is why.
I know.
But.
Well, Rusty's right about that. He's right about many things. One of the reasons he's my favorite guest here on Open Mic is that
we have a lot of fun with Rusty.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess his winter series went well.
It was fabulous. Yeah. It was really wonderful.
He said, if all things come together, we're going to try it again.
I hope that he does because it's great. And it has a much more sort of hometown, homey feeling than some of the big shows and the big venues where you kind of feel that you're, you know, just kind of there on somebody's sufferance. If you don't behave yourself, you're out the door.
Right?
You never feel that way at those shows.
And the perfect time of year when the cabin fever is. It was a mild winter, but still it was nice to get out.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it do was all
a,
of that. So
that was a great series. That was a lot of fun, and I really hope it happens again. But now we're into a new season, aren't we? 12 minutes before 11 o'clock. Bill Sayre is already here. I can see him out there chatting it up with Artie. He'll be along shortly to talk about Memorial Day and why Vermonters ought to pay attention to it, why it should matter to us, as if we didn't all feel that it does matter. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We're taking your calls and comments about Memorial Day and the Memorial Day holiday and what you're doing with the time. We're also taking your war stories. We don't always do things seriously around here. We often like to draw upon the levity and the, you know, it's a day to remember the people that have served. But one of the things we remember them for is some of them are an awful lot of fun and told us wonderful stories and things that stuck with us over the years, things we still refer to today, still things we still remember. And if you're remembering somebody, maybe it was a parent or a child or a sibling or a cousin or a buddy from high school who went and served, come and tell us, call and tell us the things that make you want to remember them. We know that we remember folks today for their service to our country, often in military, but otherwise public safety kinds of roles. But we know also that we remember them for a different reason. We remember them because they were important to us, and we loved them, and there's a reason why that happened before they had anything to do with service. And we like to hear those stories, too. We like to hear those memories. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255 is the phone number. And we're still here. We'll hear until 11 o'clock.
Interesting, the folks that have called up and the common threads we can find, like the folks that have served or new people in the Marines,
mm-hmm.
and your connection to that.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
our family's had some Army, but a lot of Navy folks.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. But then also the threads of history that these people, like I believe that one lady was talking about the B-24s, the Liberator, I believe that was the style that hit Camel's Hump.
Oh, no kidding.
And it had some modifications and stuff. But just, and there was just an anniversary of when that happened.
Yeah.
Maybe a month ago, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of crashes. There's one down in, I don't think it was that kind, but there was a big bomber down in southern Vermont that crashed.
Yep.
And then there was one that crashed in Barrie after they jumped out, and it just kept circling
wow.
for okay. hours, and they were worried, well, where is it going to
where it ran out of fuel and just
and it
tumbled?
Crashed up in Barrie Town.
Wow, amazing.
Fortunately, where there was nobody, as far as, but, you know, it was not too far from Barrie City, and Montpelier just circling and circling.
I'm going to look into that. I did not know that story.
Yeah, that's,
I lived here a long time and never heard that one, so I'm going to have to definitely check that out. I thought Esther's call was pretty interesting, too, about getting the Bibles that were signed by Franklin D.
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt,
yeah. He that went was... through the area, went through Montpelier, and went over to see, I think, the Waterbury Dam.
No kidding.
Because that was one of those
projects
that he helped with the workers getting out there and
yep.
and all that. I was in Vermont a couple times. And then, of course, there's the famous picture of Teddy Roosevelt speaking in Barrie.
That's right. I haven't thought about that in years.
Yeah. So...
Well, it's a destination for a lot of interesting folks, and it's been a destination for you. Call us up and tell us about what you're doing with your day today. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back, but there's still plenty of time for you to give us a call. The numbers are 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255, and we'll be back. Good morning and welcome back. We've got 7 minutes left to the top of the hour, and I'd sure like to hear from you here on Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller. I am here every Monday morning from 9 until 11 a.m. Often we have guests. Always we have guests. Sometimes they're sitting in the studio, and sometimes they're calling in, and that's the thing today. You are my special guest today, and I really enjoy hearing from our listeners. I love to hear the things that are on their minds. They give me lots of good ideas for future segments, and they have interesting stories to tell. You know, it's funny, Tom, sometimes when we think about our own story, we don't necessarily think it's all that interesting because we're used to it. But the minute you open your mouth or someone opens your mouth to someone else, it's a story that others have never heard before. And so they do find it interesting. And I have yet to meet someone who tells me the honest truth about their life who is not an interesting person with an interesting story to tell. And I would sure like to hear your interesting story, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We still have some time, and I'd sure like to hear from you.
A couple other things that come to mind about this weekend, other than the importance of Memorial Day, which we've definitely touched upon and quite a bit, as we should, but people opening up camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going on, and I think Mike's doing that, opening up, he calls it his camp, his summer home. And what about a lot of people, this is sort of the unofficial start for a lot of people, maybe because they have a few days off to get the garden rolling.
Sure enough, yep. We stop worrying about frost quite so much after this yeah. weekend. We feel like the frost that comes now is just totally out of place and should have to do a take back or a do-over on that night if it frosts again.
How's your garden?
My garden's pretty good. I have, what do I have going? I got two fabulous Rose de Burn tomato plants at the Craftsbury Library plant sale a couple weeks ago. And they are in the ground and thriving. I also, just on a whim, took half a clove of garlic that I had left over from something I bought at the farmer's market at the end of last fall, and I just stuck it in the ground to see what would happen. And now I have this eruption of 6 or 7. No,
wow.
Actually, it's a dozen. I have a dozen little garlic. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with all that, except make garlic pesto. Or maybe friends of mine will get house gifts this summer.
Yeah. Pickle them, I guess, or something like that. That's a lot of people get into the canning and all that
true.
Stuff later in the year.
That's true. Yeah, but some people don't really like it, so you have to be careful
yeah,
what you do with it.
Yeah.
I love it. My little sister makes this unbelievable Caesar salad, which is probably my favorite way to have garlic, is in Rebecca's Caesar salad. It's unreal. It's so good. I don't know if she's going to be here this summer. She's going to try to be, but I should save some for that occasion as well.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do and what you can grow out there. I mean, there's the seeds. You talk mm-hmm. about, what, burpee time in about February or so? When
probably, yeah. I'm really bad at
time.
That. Yeah.
So people kind of get excited, but you can do that. But like you mentioned, you can put the garlic in or various other types of things. All these, then of course the growing you can do inside with this pretty neat world of stuff.
Yeah, well, I have this fabulous fertilizer generating plant out behind my house. It's got, you know, well, let's see, 4 times 5. It's got 16 legs and lots of white fur.
Oh yes, I've seen those on Facebook.
Yeah,
there's
they're pretty amazing.
Of them.
So anyway, I have this like super stuff they make, and I dump that on and stick anything into it, and it grows like crazy.
They're pretty cute, those animals.
They're wicked
are they
cute.
As nice in person as they look
no.
in their pictures?
No. No, they're not cuddly types. I like them because it's not that they're hard to get. It's that they are dignified, sort of reserved.
Are they stubborn?
Not particularly. They're quite amenable. They just want things on their own terms. Thank you very much. And, you know, they don't particularly cotton to sort of rushing them to shower them with affection. They don't care for that at all.
Huh.
But if you have something interesting in the palm of your hand, or they think you do, they'll come up and investigate. And they're really cute, and they have absolutely beautiful eyes.
And that's the alpacas. Now,
my little alpacas, yeah.
What else do you have for animals, too?
I have three chickens, Buffy, Red, and Betty. And they're tremendous, too. They're hilariously funny.
Is Red is that the rooster?
No, I don't have a rooster.
Okay.
It's all girls.
You showed pictures. There's the red-colored one.
Yes, the red-colored one, the little red hen.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a good egg. she's a good hen. Sorry.
No pun intended there, of course.
Yep, and so they're really happy now because they're out of the barn pretty much any time they want to be. They run around on the hillside. They have a good time. We'd like to hear from you this morning, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We're here for another 3 minutes or so. And then we're going to welcome our buddies from Common Sense Radio in
Absolutely.
Here shortly.
Bill and Rob will be along. And, of course, let's see. Well, and you can check us out online.
Oh, that's right. We need to mention the podcasts.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
You just go to if you put anything in the search engine, you can put WDEV. That's usually the easiest way. Whatever search engine you use, you'll find the site. Click to open mic. And there's, if you click on Hester Fuller, you'll get the Monday lineup, or Mike Smith, and you'll get Tuesday through Friday.
Yep, or you can just click Open Mic Podcast, and you get all of us.
Yep.
And you can pick and choose. And Jay Austin, who's our like web wizard downstairs, writes up little paragraphs, so if you can't remember what week exactly you heard something, you can scan his little paragraphs and pick out the one you want to listen to.
Does such a great job with very complex things to get some of this stuff together, and puts it in ways like Tom Laffin, our engineer, people like us can understand what in the world is, how all this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
So they're almost like mechanics, Star Trek mechanics.
Yep.
There, we'll throw in another sci-fi. We've done Star Wars, Star Trek.
Yeah, what's left? I don't know.
There's something else
Avatar.
We mentioned, too. Yeah.
Avatar. I haven't seen any of the new movies that are out there. Have you seen them? That apocalypse
really.
Something or other?
Not really. They got the new Star Wars movie coming out in December, the Rogue One.
Another one?
The one that is before Star Wars.
Oh, Beat Still My Heart. Really?
Yeah. It looks haven't seen the... I'll have to send you the trailer.
I haven't seen... I didn't realize it was coming out so quickly. I'm used to
that
waiting.
That one, but not the next.
Not the next.
Of what they've relaunched. Not the...
All right, now I'm confused.
There's Force Awakens,
right,
and then they're
going to
continue on. But this is before... New Hope, the 1977 original.
No kidding.
And
so it's
supposed to be after the prequels that Lucas did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's intriguing. I wonder what the cast is going to be like.
Well, yeah, there's some people you know. Some people. Like, Star Wars is so good at giving you new people you've never heard of before.
And generally. They're wonderful. So they turn out pretty darn good.
They're going to steal the plans to the original Death Star.
Okay. I'm down for that.
Yep.
That'll be interesting indeed. We have about a minute to go before the top of the hour, and I want to thank all the folks who called in this morning on our program. It's been a lot of fun to chat with you. Thank you for the many good ideas for segments going forward. Thanks for sharing your memories of time in the service and folks who served in the service and just folks who were important to you that you are remembering on this Memorial Day. Thanks, too, for your stories about old-time Vermont. Love those, and we'll be figuring out ways we can persuade you to call us again and tell us more of those stories, because I think there's a lot to be learned from the way the old things were done, a lot to be learned from our older generation who've had time to reflect on lengthy experience. You are tuned right now to the Nifty 550 WDEV AM, broadcasting on the 550 AM in Waterbury, also on FM 96.1 in Warren, 96.5 FM in Barrie, Vermont.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok, Boardman, Dennis, Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com, and you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook, in Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.